Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson. We'll start in the middle and work both ways. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. This is the text. I was digging around and found something that was the assured common knowledge of that day. You want to hear it? They're absolutely sure this is true. Okay? You ready? Every fisherman knows this. Every sailor knew this. When you were out on the water and a storm came up, and you looked out and you saw a ghost, that meant that death and the dead were coming after you. Everybody knew that. And what makes it worse is they all saw him. So, in the definite established knowledge of that day, death and the dead were coming after all of them. Which explains a few details of the story, why they cried out in fear, why Jesus then assures them, it is I, do not be afraid. So then that started me wondering what bits of absolutely assured knowledge do we have wandering around in our day? Well, you know, I read it on the internet. It must be true. Okay. Here's one. When we die, we turn into angels, so grandma is watching over you. She sees everything you're doing. Okay. Here's a good one. My sins aren't really my fault. They just happened. You ever use that one? Another one, good people get into heaven, doesn't matter what religion they are. Here's one more. I heard about this on TV. The preachers said it on TV. The whole reason Jesus came to earth was so we could have good and prosperous lives. And so, all of these things swirl around and go around the world. You'll find people believing them. Absolutely assured that they are true. And meanwhile, you got Jesus out there walking on the water, coming to his disciples. And they don't see him the way that they should see him at that point. And here comes another question. Have you ever had something that God was working on teaching you, and you just weren't getting it and weren't getting it and weren't getting it? Yeah. Yep, yep. And before we go on, here's a verse. He meant to pass by them. Somebody want to say, ask the question, hey, pastor, do you know what that means? I haven't a clue. And the reason why I toss that in is because we're dealing with Jesus, who is gathering his kingdom, who is doing the work of the kingdom, and the disciples are clueless. And sometimes I don't know what he's doing. I can't figure it out. But is he doing the work of the kingdom? Yeah. He's going about his business. And sometimes we convince ourselves that the kingdom of God is something that it actually is not. And so we run around trying to bring about this, what we think is the kingdom of God, and we miss the point. Meanwhile, Jesus is doing the actual building of the kingdom of God. Now, you back earlier in the reading, and in fact, go before the reading, about 3 weeks back, and we get to that lesson 3 weeks back, where Jesus is in Nazareth preaching at the synagogue in his hometown, and they're not listening. And you might remember how we said, and when they aren't listening to the word of God, what does Jesus have to give them? More word of God. So he goes around the towns preaching and teaching. And then he gives them more word of God, because he sends out the disciples two by two to go and preach. So when we aren't listening to the word of God, what does he give us? Word of God. Because the word of God is that faith-creating, means of grace thing that God uses to get into our hearts and our souls and to plant the message of the gospel home to us, so that we are actually changed. And he makes us into his people, his Christians. That's what he does with the word of God. And then last week, we got to the lesson where the disciples returned, and now they couldn't eat supper because there were so many coming to them. They wanted that word of God. They were hungry for the word of God. Part of the lesson is, if you're not hungry for the word of God, just wait. Things happen in life, and there is a time to be hungry for the word of God. If we would only be hungry all the time for the word of God, we would be doing a whole lot better. But that's the setup for when Jesus and the disciples took off in the boat and went off to a lonely place, a desolate place, there to spend some time and rest. But the crowd follows on foot, races ahead, gets there ahead of them, and then Jesus comes ashore and looks at them, and they're like sheep without a shepherd, wandering off with every crazy idea spiritually. That's what the whole world is like to Jesus. A whole mass of us, sheep without shepherd, believing anything that comes along, whatever feels good to believe in the moment. And so he teaches and he pulls us in, and we learn to be hungry for the word of God. And then there's the feeding of the 5,000. What happened after the feeding of the 5,000? Well, that was part of it. And then the disciples are made to get into the boat and head off. And Jesus dismisses the crowd, and then what? Goes up on a mountainside to pray. The reason for that, it is John actually who tells us this, that the crowd wanted to seize him and make him king. Yeah, did Jesus come in order to establish an earthly kingdom? In order to reconstitute Old Testament Israel with its borders and such? No. In order to drive the Romans out? Nope. Is he still in the business of establishing an earthly kingdom here and now? Nope. teaches us what the kingdom of God is. And that's why Jesus was there in prayer, focusing, setting his eyes on what had to come at the end of all of this, namely heading to Jerusalem, there to suffer for you and me, there to establish the kingdom of God, a kingdom that is formed by God taking his word, putting it in your soul, and pulling you to him, connecting you to Jesus so that you live forever. That's the kingdom of God. Did the disciples get it at this point? No. And around the world, people chase after what they think is going to be the kingdom of God, and how often getting it wrong. The kingdom of God is where God pulls us aside. He takes us and he shows us the cross. And there at the cross, our sins are carried away. There at the cross, we are forgiven. There at the cross, we are given eternal life. There at the cross, Jesus makes us his own. And he plants his word into our souls so that all around us in the world, as all of these so-called truths swirl around, he gives us the truth of the kingdom of God, the truth of salvation in Jesus Christ. Now there's a part two. And when he does that, you know what happens? He takes us out of being in step with the world. He makes us out of step with all of those other truths swirling around us, because we stand before the world holding to truths that are of a different sort. We believe things that others do not understand. We talk about a hope that others think is foolish. We do acts of devotion that don't make a bit of sense to others, because we are Christians, because we are connected to Jesus Christ. And that takes us and makes us separate and strangers in this world. And we will stand before the world and we will speak truths to the world and not be understood. That means that there is trouble in this life, not only because we've wandered from God, but also because there is a world out there speaking truths that challenge the Word of God. And let's make it worse. It's personal. There is someone who seeks to separate us from God, the devil, who challenges the truths of God with other truths, so-called truths, who is a liar. And we as Christians, we stand alone before the world, speaking very specific truths. Want to hear one? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Want to hear another one? And in Jesus Christ, who was crucified, died, and was buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And when we say that, that puts us completely at odds with the world out there. It means that we are walking completely out of step with the way the world is going. But if you have to choose the entire world or this one man, Jesus, is it worth setting aside everything in the world simply to know him, to be in fellowship with him, and to have his promises given to you? Those promises are life, eternity, forgiveness, joy, being with God, sharing in the glory of Jesus, and that to go on forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen.